Good.
The Shia this evening is part of a series on Tachlun that we began a week ago. And the last two sections we entitled Halachi Potpourri, part one and part two. This will be part three of Halachi Potpourri. I was asked to address a number of questions that relate to what we spoke about at the end of the shiur yesterday. I'm not going to elaborate. I did already yesterday. We spoke about a bris that takes place in a shul. If the bris is going to be in the same shul that we're davening, we're not going to say tachanun. Even if the father, the abi ben, the moel and the sandak, which are the bali abris al pi alocha, even if they're not found there, but if the bris is going to take place in that particular makom, then tachanun is not said. If the bris will be elsewhere, then we say tachanun, with the exception of those three individuals, wherever they are. They're not going to say tachanun. They're considered to be bali abris. Abi aben, the moel, the sandak, the kvater is not included. And we're talking about, we indicated in shachris in the morning, where the bris is going to take place, but mincha, where the baby already underwent the bris milah, the Mishnah Berurah writes here in Sivkot Mchafei, that if you're going to daven etzel hatinok, kodem asuda, or b'emtza asuda, then tachanun would not be said. But if you're going to daven after benching, then we would say tachanun, with the exception again of the bali abris. The bali abris are the bali simcha, and therefore for them it's a din yomtiv, similar to what the Gemara says when the mishpachas would bring a korban esim and had a din yomtiv. So I was asked to address the question which Harav Linowitz Zatzal weighed in on, namely a simcha that takes place in the ulam of the shul. How does that affect tachanun in the Beis Medrash? So Rabbi Linowitz is quoted as saying, when the ulam was being run by the shul, if there was a bris there, then the shachas minyan in the Beis Medrash would not say tachanun as well. However, once
we're talking about a simcha of a member of the shul, because the ulam is rented out to outsiders, so would it be relevant if someone?
I cannot answer that question. I'm only reading a text that was sent to me, and I don't think it's a chiddush or a ban writing, but because of all the protein that you are discussing were not mentioned in the text. I do not know.
Where does it say that you have to be a member of the shul?
No, my svar is like this. My svar is that if there's a simcha that's part of your kihila, so you're so happy for that it's a simcha for those shul, there's no tachlun. But the fact that there's something going on in that location, is that an added simcha or not?
Okay, I hear that svar, Rabbi Feinberg. But we actually alluded to it yesterday when we spoke about the expansion of this halacha, not saying tachanun. We started with yardside, and then we went to even someone making a siyum and ulam, and also not saying tachanun as well. But here, the question that was posed to me, a bris that takes place downstairs, would it affect the tachanun not being set upstairs? And that apparently was the psak that was given by Rabbi Linowitz Zatzal. But he did indicate that if the ulam is given over to a caterer, then a simcha there does not change anything in the Beis Medrash. Yesh b'zeh makom ladun, unquestionably, and each of these issues is shorei v'machlokes. And as I said, the psak of Rabbi Linowitz Zatzal, b'mkom amunach. I was also asked regarding a chuppah that takes place on the shul steps at the entrance to the shul. At the same time, mincha is taking place in the Beis Medrash. Should the mincha minyan say tachman? And as I mentioned yesterday, there's no question that the minyan for mincha in the shul and the chuppah is right there. They're not going to say tachman. Even if I were to paskin, they should say tachanun, they won't say tachanun. So therefore, that is the, unquestionably, the psak I spoke about, people davening mincha, when the chuppah is going to be after Seisuk HaKavim, but the davening mincha in the ulam, in the hall that the chas is going to take place. So there, the practice also is not to say tachanun. So more or less, these are issues that are involved in a lot of chilukadeos among the poskim. And so kedai to be ma'ayin in the poskim, for each of these particular matters. I wanted to also mention another, let's call it Lakute Basel Lakute, that I've not yet discussed. Namely, there are days that the Shulchan Aruch writes that Tachanun is not said. The Shulchan Aruch writes here in Tziv Vav, in Kuf Lamed Aleph, Nagu Shalalipal Alpanayim, and then there's a list of days. Tu Baav, We know what the Gemara says. The Gemara in Tainis, the Gemara in Ba'al Basra. So Tu B'Av is one of the days where the minig is not to say Tachanum. The Shacharit continues Tu B'Shvat. Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. Rosh Chodesh, Tachanun is not said. Chanukah, Purim, Tachanun is not said. The Ramah is over here. He extends the not saying of Tachanun to Lag Ba'Omer, to Erev Yom Kippur, to Erev Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, in all of the above cases, you don't say Tachanun gam bin mincha shel upono. Even on Lag Ba'Omer, the Mishnah Berurah says, with the exception of Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippur. The Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin continues and writes further, minag poshud hu shelo lipol al pneim b'chol chodesh Nisan, the entire month. We don't say Tachanun. And this is based on the logic is, one can utilize the pasuk in Megillah, v'achedesh asher nepach lehem miyogah and l'simcha. The entire month becomes a month which is malei simcha, because of Pesach. Furthermore, the Mechaber says here, not on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a din maye. Kora lai maye lishmor bachurai. And a maye, you don't say tachanun. And between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and the Ramah is, not from the beginning of Sivan, all the way till after Shavuos. And this is the subject also of a discussion among the Poskim. The Chazon Ish does not agree with this last position, namely in terms of not saying Tachanun, for example. This is the practice after the Yom Tov of Sukkot, as most Ashkenazic shuls are knowing, till beginning of the next month. And the Chazon Ish held that Tachanun should be said, not on Issur Chag, but beyond that, Tachanun should be said. There's also an interesting discussion among the Poskim, it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, regarding Pesach Sheni. Many people have a practice to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni. I remember that years ago, I asked my Rebbe, I'm going to need some help, what's the mokar for that practice? Is there any mokar, is there any sauce for eating matzah at Pesach Sheni? And it's a minhag Yisrael. Many actually have the practice. So he told me, it says in Nagoda, Shevachal HaLeilos on Oichum Chamitzu Matzah. I said, but that's not at Pesach Sheni. That's Bechal HaLeilos. Oichum Chamitzu Matzah. Alayla Azer Kula Matzah. But the meaning is not to say Tachanun, even though it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, but I looked into the Minhagei Brisk, which I happen to have a fondness for. And apparently that was the minhag by the Brisk Rabbi as well, that Tachanun was not said on Pesach Sheni. However, the Chazon Ish was knowing to say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni. And if I'm not mistaken, the Chazon Ish also had a minog not to eat matzah Pesach Sheni, because that minog comes from Chassidim. There's no mocker that I'm familiar with other than Chassidim, we eat matzah Pesach Sheni. But if I'm not mistaken, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita is not to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni, because his father, the stipler Zatzal, was not to eat matzah. So we have Chiluk Adeos, even in the same mishpacha, regarding eating matzah on Pesach Sheni. The Shari Tshuva quotes the minog not to say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni, and I think that seems to be the minog ha'olam. And I saw in the Luach of Eretz Yisrael as well, they confirmed that practice of not saying Tachanun on Pesach Sheni. I saw that Hagoyin Moshe Feinstein Zatzal writes in the Sefer Shmaitza de Moshe. That's a very beautiful collection of other Piske Halacha that are not necessarily found in the Igros Moshe. So in the Shmaitz of the Moshe, they bring that even though in Europe, he said, the minig was to say Tachanun in the Pesach Sheni. But minig America is not to say Tachanun in the Pesach Sheni. In Europe, the minig was to say, and in America, the minig is not to say. In Eretz Yisrael, the Luach in Eretz Yisrael indicates that mincha of Erev Pesach Sheni, certainly you say Tachanun. And there are those as well. There's a group of chassidim that I think I mentioned this as well. There's a issue about saying Tachanun the week after Pesach Sheni. Wow. What's the mocker for that? not saying Tachnun the week after Pesach Sheni. I understand Chodesh Nisan, as I said earlier. HaChodesh Asher Nebach Lehem Yogel LeSimcha. The month is a month of Geula. B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Asim LeGoel. However, a week after Pesach Sheni, not to say Tachnun. So I believe that's again a Chassidish practice, as far as I know. And someone told me, I went actually looking into it, that the Mokar apparently is found by Hagoyin Hashom Kuga, the Chassidim Libracha. He has many, many Svarim. He was a prolific author, not just Shelton Chubas, he wrote Kedushim. He has a Sefer called Imre Shefer, which is Al HaTorah. And so he cites a pasuk in Parshas Ba'alei Tzvo, where the Torah says, Vayhi Bashana Hashenis, in the second year, Bachodesh Hasheni, Iyor, Be'esim Bachodesh, in the 20th of Iyor, the Torah says, Na'lo Ha'onon, Me'al Mishkan Ha'edos. So the Onon ascended. So they did not travel till Esim Bachodesh. Means we know that the Onon, more or less, was the GPS that controlled the movements of Klal Yisrael, as the Torah tells us a number of times. So Esim Bachodesh, that's when they began to travel again. So from Pesach Sheni till the 20th day of Iyar is 7 days. Says Ashlomo Kluger, those are the 7 days that we don't say Tachanun according to the Mekubalim, because Shari Rachamim Adayim Suchim. The gates of Rachamim are still open, and they are called Yom of the Pagre. I once heard the name of Hagoyin Rav Menashe Klein Zatzal, the Ungver Rav, the author of the Mishnah Halachos. He was a giant who lived in Williamsburg. That once he had a kasha on something that was said by Shlomo Kluger. This statement that I made to you till now comes from Shlomo Kluger Zatzal. So once Rav Menashe Hakotin Klein Hagoyin had a kasha, a very strong kasha on Shlomo Kluger. So he asked the kasha to the Kloisenberger, Rav, the Rebbe of Hagoyin Rav Asher Weinschlitter. He asked him this question. So the Kloisenberger told Hagoyin Rav Menashe Klein, before you have the he'oza to ask a shayla on Hashem Kluga, first go to the mikvah. First be told the mikvah, then we can make an hashayla. So Hashem Kluga has this piece. And as I said, I went searching to see what the Mekaris could possibly be. But as I indicated, that this is a practice that Chassidim generally have. Not all Chassidim, only some Chassidim, but obviously there's some Makar for this as well. We quoted the Rama earlier that you don't say Tachanun from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Sivan until Shavuos. The Mishnah Berurah actually writes in Sivkot Lamed Vav over here that there are places that they have a minog Shalom vipol kol shisha yomim shachar shavuos. That they're not doing for lapayim. I mentioned this a few moments ago. The Chazon Ish was knowing not like that. The marker for that, of course, is that the karbonos of shavuos had a tashlumim for 7 days. That's a sugya, the Gemara Chagiga. And the Shari Tshuva mentions over here that Chutz Laaretz, we had another day because of Sfeika D'Yoma. And even though the Chazon Ish was knowing to say tachanun right away after Yisru Chag, and that is a minig of many, many yeshivas. For example, if it tells the yeshiva, we have to ask here, Shlomo Weishlita. But if I believe that's the minig I heard, and it tells the yeshiva that they actually say Tachanun right after Yisru Chag, but the minig of Olam is not to say it. And that's what Luach Eretz Yisrael writes as well. And Hagoyin Ashrei Dublitzki Zatzal points out this is based on Rishonim. It's based on the Rav Yo, and it's based on Rabbi Yo Halevi. And Rav Moshe Feinstein said that one should also not say Tzidkoscha on Shabbos and Mincha, that's chal during these 7 days. That was his additional postscript to this matter. Let's just add one last item that the Mechaber brings, that we don't say Tachanun between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. The Shari Tshuva here quotes from the Shari Knesset Agdela and the Seder Ayom that they had a minute not to say Tachanun until Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Why? Because the Chodesh is Merube B'mayadais. Or because, as he writes, HaChodesh Hazeh Nichnas B'inui Roi Hu Sheyetze B'Simcha. since it begins with Inui of Yom Kippurim, it's kedai that we should escort out the Chodesh actually with Simcha. And even though during these days the Chazanish said Tachanun, and I believe Rabbi Shapanks in that song was also known to say Tachanun, the minute of them is not to say it, as the Luach Eretz Yisrael writes, and the Magen Avraham also reports this in Siman Torah Beis Samach Tes, Simchat Nalev, and the Goyin Rav Shraid Dabutsky Zatzal brings this from the Machzor Vitrei and the Shalutrum Sagarinim and the Tashbetz, not to say till Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, not to say Tachem. Okay, I sent out about 16 pages or so of Maran Mekomis on the next issue that I would like to discuss. And this issue, of course, is also mentioned here in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, in the Dinim of Tachanun. We already referred to the Gemara, that the Gemara mentions that the Mechaber quotes in Kuf Lamed Aleph Sif Ches, Ein Odom Choshev Bashori Lipol Al Ponok Shemizbalo Al Tzibur Ela Nehuvatuach Sheyoneh Ki Yoshua Bin Nun. And Odom Choshev is not allowed to be Neufel Al Ponok when he davens al hatzibur, unless he is of the level of Yeshua ben Nun, and he's certain that his tefillos will be answered. Right away, the Ramos says, "V'chein also l'chaladam lipol alpanav bepishut yadayim raglayim." So too, a person is not allowed to be neifel alpanav, and do so. Pishut yadayim raglayim refers to lying prostrate, where a person is prone, totally on the ground. One is not allowed to do that. Afilo ein sham ever maskis, which we'll discuss. Yetz Hashem. The Mishnah Berurah says there's no ever maskis, or even a ritzma of avonim, a floor made of stone. And the Ramah continues, avonim neitek tzas al tzido mutar. But if he simply inclines on his side, then he's allowed to do so. Im ein sham ever maskis. V'chein yasu b'yom ha-kippurim. And so too, this is the behavior of Klal Yisrael on Yom Kippur, Shenofim Alpaneim, Im Yatziu Shom Asobin. What Klal Yisrael does, the Ramah speaks of grass that's going to be brought into the Beis HaKnesses, Kedei Lahasik Ben HaKarka, in order to interpose between him and the stone floor, V'chein Noegim, and that's the practice. So this issue leads us to a significant investigation that's required, namely the parameters of Evan Maskis. And once we are able to define a bit more carefully the parameters of Evan Maskis, then we will as well relate this back to the issue of Tachanun, because this is how the Shulchan Aruch, as I just read, and the Ramah that mentions the relevance of this to Yom Kippur. And essentially, when we speak about interposing between yourself and the karka, we're talking bein haponim lebein hakarka. We're talking about one's physiognomy and the ground. We're not talking about the hefsek between one's knees and the karka, where one's face is exposed to the ground, but essentially the hefsek has to be between my face and the karka. That's how the Rambam writes, as we'll see in a little bit, in Paragvav, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Halacha Zayin. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that even in a Ritzpa Shel Avonim, if I have a stone floor, there also is a need for an interposition. There's a need for a Hesek. And for that matter, the Poskim bring down, they quote from Rabbi Yashin Zatzal, from others, that even our floors, and our floors are obviously tiled, our floors are not stone floors. Ubecholzos, the proper practice, even in our floors, is to create an interposition between my physiognomy, my face and the karka, and it applies to Avnei Shayish, it applies to a marble floor, all different types of material, that this also would be regular, relevant. The Mati Ephraim has a kind of qualification, I'm going to find Zalman Golias, that very classic sefer that all of us should be familiar with. The entire Mishnah Berurah, especially in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and Sukkot, is completely and totally founded and undergirded with the Pesukim of the Mati Ephraim, who's a Goyin Adir, You wrote a number of very, very famous svarim, and probably the most famous of them is the Matei Ephraim, that deals with the halachas of Yom Tovim. As I mentioned, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and the entire Mishnah Berurah literally, Kemat is not an omid, where he does not cite the Matei Ephraim. He also wrote a classic sefer on Kriyas HaTeilah, Shari Ephraim, and many other svarim as well. So even though he claims that really, Meikra Adin, the only hesed that's required is if I have a Ritzpah Shel Avodi. But we are machmir. We're machmir by all types of floors that we have this interposition because of Ritzpah Sabonu. Let's say I have a floor made of krashim, made of boards, wooden boards. Or for that matter, even if I have a floor that's covered with a shatiach, covered with a rug, or let's say some other plastic, or maybe some nylon material. So still, there's a minhag, the practice is to be machmir and to put something there in between your face and whatever material the floor consists of. The Achronim also point out that if I'm going to use clothing, that's not called a hesek. I'm talking about my clothing because I'm wearing my clothing and the clothing is batel to my guf. And the Shaar Tzion actually notes that a talis, which is already a separate garb, an independent garment, so with the Eved, one actually could use the talis because it's not dobuk, begufo, kishar begobin. So this is the backdrop for the issue that I want to discuss. And I would like to explore both tonight and tomorrow, Mirz Hashem, and we'll see in terms of how much time this is going to be required to examine the parameters of the halacha of Eved Maskis. You have in front of you, as I said, approximately 16 pages of Ma'amar Komos, if I'm not mistaken. And we'll begin actually by just reading the Psukim, which I found on page 3 and page 4. At the end of Parshas Bahar, in the Mafti of Bahar, the Torah has the following in Perek Chavov. Lo sa'asu lachem elilim. And then in the context of discussing not making idols, psalim, matzevo, the Torah introduces the din of the Eben Maskis lo sidnu ba'arsechem. Notice that the Torah has used different verbs to describe the different Isurim. When it comes to Eliel and a Pesel, the language of the Pasuk is Lo Sa'asu Lachem, Loshen Asiya. As we are familiar with in Aseres HaDibros, Lo Sa'asu Lachem Pesel Lachol Tzmuna, Asher B'Shamayim Imal, Asher B'Aretz Mitochas. Of course, the Lav is Lo Tishtacha Be'Lohem, Lo Sa'avdeim. And then when it comes to Matzeva, the Torah says, or Pesel as well, U'Pesel L'Matzeva Lo Sakim Lachem, Loshen Hakoma. Hakamas Matseva. That's, by the way, where the expression comes from, Lahavdil, when a person is nifter and we erect a Matseva as a tzion, the Gemara Moikotin. So the language of Hakamas Matseva is in place. And then when it comes to the third Isur, the Eben Maskis, Lo Sitnu Be'aratzechem Be'ishtachavei Solera, Ki Ani Hashem Elokechem. Going on to page number 4. So here the Torah uses the language of Eved Maskis, Lo Sitnu Be'aretzechem. So we have several Isurim, and then the Torah concludes the Parsha, Eshapsosai Tishmoru, Umigdoshi Tirou, Ani Hashem. So clearly there's a juxtaposition here that has to be examined as well. Mitz Hashem, we will touch on that a bit later. But we have a din, which is very significant, of Eben Maskis. Now the problem is, what is the translation of the term Maskis? Eben, we know. The term Maskis is more difficult in terms of its translation. So Rashi comments right below, on page number 3. Rashi says, Maskis l'shon kisui. Rashi sees in this word a language of covering. And Rashi quotes the pasuk that we are familiar with. V'sakosi kapi. Says Rashi, Shemechasin hakarka beritzapas avonim. The ground is covered with a layer of stones. So the term maskis is a lashon of kisui. That's how Rashi understands the language of maskis, lashon kisui. And Rashi brings a pasuk, v'sakosi chapi olecho ad ovri. Then the Torah tells us, what's the iser? There's an iser of hishtachavo. Rashi again comments over here. Says Rashi, afilu lashamayim. Even if one's intention is lashamayim, even maskis is also lefisha hishtachavo bepisha yadayim raglayim. Rashi tells you the term hishtachavo, which is a term that we're familiar with. We already had recourse to it and mentioned it a number of times, that this is the distinction between the Migdash and the Beis HaKnesses. We mentioned that the Beis HaKnesses, the posture, the correct posture, is the posture of Yeshiva, where the Rambam writes, the Hilchos Tefillah, Sha'a Yeshiva Shom Yiski HaMitzvah Hi, Shenemar Ashrei Yoshei Yisecha. And we refer to the Rambam, who writes that, with the exception of the Sheikh Tzibur, the Tzibur themselves are B'Yeshiva Kol Hazman. That's the minog, which is certainly much more prevalent in Sephardic circles. Ashkenazic circles have different minhagim regarding, as I mentioned, the getting up and sitting down during different intervals, different points in the tefillah. But Ba'ofen Ekroni, the Rambam says, the ideal posture of the tzibur is yeshiva, with the exception of Shmoneh Esrei, of course, which has to be Ba'amida. And this is in stark contrast to a Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash, the pasuk says, Vishtachaviso ve'Hashem Elokecha. We're going to speak about this at some length. Vishtachavo is the proper posture in the Beis HaMikdash. There, yeshiva is not permitted. The Gemara says, a number of places in Shas, Ein yeshiva ba'azara el lemalchev izdav bilvad. Only malchev izdav are allowed to feel comfortable and be in a posture of yeshiva in the azara. We mentioned already a number of times the Rosh. In the fourth parak of Sukkah, the Rosh cites the Rambam, that with reference to Kiddush on Sukkot night, that the Rambam said Kiddush ba'amida because he felt the bracha of Leishei ba'sukkah means not the way we generally interpret it, the way most Rishonim interpret it, ba'sukkah teishu shivas yom and teishu kein taduru, but rather we're referring to physically sitting, a posture of yeshiva. Therefore, the Rambam felt that the mitzvah has to be ayvul as yasan, so the Kiddush should be ba'amida in order that the drinking of the wine after the bracha will be the yeshiva. And that is, again, the way the Rambam interpreted, similar to the way the Rambam interpreted the pasuk of Ashrei Yoshei Yisecha, happy are those who sit in your home, namely a physical pasture of yeshiva, as opposed to the universal acclaimed translation, which is happy are those who dwell in your home, which is the simple pshat in the pasuk. But back here, there's an Isra Vishachavo, Be'evin Maskis. And Rashi continues, Ishtachavor means pishur yadayim raglayim. Says Rashi in the end of Bahar. This kind of posture of ishtachavor is absolutely interdicted, forbidden, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. This kind of posture is only permissible in the Beis HaMikdash itself. So the Torah tells us that ba'artzachem, this is awesome. In the Beis HaMikdash, it is not awesome. And this is the background for the discussion that we're now going to have. And we're going to begin actually by referring to a Gemara, a famous Gemara found here on page number one in Masechet Megillah. A Gemara that requires a fair amount of analysis. I underlined the Gemara so you can see it in front of you. The Gemara comments, Gufa. Rav Ikla the Bavel, Bitan and Sibor. Rav came to Bavel, he came there when it was a tiny Sibor. Come, the Gemara says, Rav got up and Kara Besifra. He read, he did Kriya Sateru. Pasach Borich. He began with the Bracha of the Fadea. Chasam. After the Kriya, lo baruch. He did not make a bracha. The Gemara continues. Nafal kuli alma anpayim. The whole tzibur was nafal apayim. They fell on their face. The Rav loy nafal anpayim. But Rav, however, did not do nefilas apayim. Again, as we pointed out already, that tachanun is traditionally called nefilas apayim. It's derived from Moshe Rabbeinu. But esnapal lifnei Hashem. And you also have the pasuk Yeshua per of Zayin. Vayipol alponav arza lifnei Aron Hashem. So here, Rav did not do the nefilas apayim. My time, Rav lo nafal al ape. The Gemara says, why did Rav do the nefilas apayim? So the Gemara answers, Ritzpa shel avonim ha'isa. There was a stone floor in that synagogue, in that shul. The Tanya, and now the Gemara quotes the pasuk we just read in Bahar. The Eben maskis lo sitnu be'artzechem li'shtachav os oleho. Oleho i'ata mishtachav be'artzechem. You're not allowed to bow down an Eben Maskis that's found Be'artzechem outside of the Mokum HaMikdash. However, in the Mikdash itself, you are Mishtachadeh on the Avonim of the Beis HaMikdash. Kedu Ula. Yama Ula L'Rasa Teira El Ritzba Shel Avonim Bilvat. The Torah did not permit a Ritzba Shel Avonim. And those Rav did not fall on his face. Rav didn't say tachanun and everyone else because there was a stone floor in the shul, in the Beis HaKnesses. And we're not allowed to prostrate ourselves at a stone floor. And this obviously has a source in pagan practices. They used to worship stone images. We'll see that actually in a little while. The Gemara then asked Akashi, Yochi, Ma Yiriya Rav, Afilu Kulu Nami, that no one should have been Neufel Apayim. Why is only Rav behaving in such a fashion? Why is it that everyone else is saying Tachanun and only Rav didn't say Tachanun? So the Gemara says, Kamei de Rav Havi. The Gemara says that Rav was standing over, apparently, the stone section of the synagogue floor. He was the one who encountered this stone floor. So the Gemara says, "Belezel legabi tzibur avilinta ape." So why didn't he leave his makom and go to where there's no stone floor and go ahead and do the filas apayim the way the rest of the tzibur was doing the filas apayim? So the Gemara says, "Bavoy lemitrach tzibur." He did not want to create a tircha de tzibur. What would be the tircha de tzibur? So Rashi says, "Shein yelech yamdu mipano." The moment Rab would leave his makom to do the filas apayim in an area where there was no stone floor, everyone would stand up for him, and that would be a tircha de tzibur. The Gemara says another answer to this question. First answer, the Gemara said he didn't want to inconvenience the entire tzibur, that they would be compelled to stand when he passed by, and he felt that would be a tircha de tzibur. The Gemara has a second answer. Rav Pishu Yadayim Raglayim Hava Ovid Kidula. His practice was that Rav always prostrated himself completely on the floor. Namely, he was prone. Pishu Yadayim Raglayim Ukidula. The Yama Ula Laasra Torah Ela Pishu Yadayim Raglayim Bavad. I mean, the other people simply bowed down with their heads parallel to the ground. So to bow down with your head parallel to the ground, that's permitted on a stone floor. But Rav's practice was to do Pishu Yadayim Raglayim. He was prone. He was lying prostrate on the floor. And because he had that practice, so the Gemara says, that's the reason why Rav did not act the way the Tzibur acted. And that's why Rav did not move out of his makom. So the Gemara says, but there's also an answer for that. Why couldn't Rav simply do what everyone else did? Namely, bow down with his head parallel to the ground. That's permitted on a stone floor. That's what everyone else in the shul did. Why can't Rav do that? The Gemara said, Lo mishani mi minhagi. Rav did not want to change his matter of bowing down. And therefore, he did not, as Rashi said, Lo hayarotzeh lishanes mi minhagi. Simply felt that this was his practice, this was a minhag. He didn't want to change his minhag. Ibai Seima, the Gemara comes with the final teretz, Adam Choshev Shaini. The Gemara says that an Adam Choshev is a totally different situation. That's the halacha we read in the Mechaber. is not allowed to be nefil apayim. And those Rav was an adam chashuv, but an adam chashuv cannot be nefil apayim unless he's certain he's batuach that Hashem will answer his tefillos. And Rashi here comments, "Ibay Seimus says Rashi lo yaragul ipol apanim klaim Rashi adam chashuv ve'en nefil apanim. Even though he was an adam chashuv, he wasn't nefil apanim. Elam kein nene klomar elam kein batuach b'masav shunane b'tefillosav." We're talking about someone of incredible stature who can be certain that his tefillos will be answered. Kedichsev, Bayam Hashem Yoshua, and these are the psukim that the Gemara cites from Sefer Yoshua to this effect. So the Gemara indicates the pasuk says in Yoshua because the Navi there speaks about being noifel al apa, falling on your face. And that's the makor that we already alluded to, we already mentioned that the Aron was nearby. That's why we usually bow down only when there's a Sefer Torah in the room, B'toch Aharon. And as I mentioned, that this is the Machlokes HaPoskim, I spoke about this the other day. Some contend that Tachanun is unrelated to the Aron Kodesh. You should always bow down while saying it. And others contend you need Svarim. And there's a question we mentioned, is the Siddur sufficient? This we already spoke about. But we already indicated as well, we quote the Shulchan Aruch, the name of the Rashba, that there shouldn't be any interruption between the Shmonesri and Tachanun. So more or less, this Gemara presents to us the general backdrop for the dinim of Eved Maskiz and how Tachanun was said by Rav and how Tachanun is said by the Tzibur in general. And then there's a further attachment, a further nispach, which we're going to deal with in Yitz Hashem in the course of the discussion we're going to have. So I just want to begin tonight by talking about a Rambam and how he cites this halacha in Perek Vav of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rambam quotes this in Halacha Vav, Halacha Zayin. Take a look at page number 5, and you'll see the language of the Rambam. The Rambam, when he brings this din of Eved Maskiz, so first he tells you in Halacha Vav, Matzeva she'as v'Torah, ki binyan she'akol miskatzin etzla. When the Torah says, "Lo sokim b'cha matzeva asher soni Hashem elokecha," and the pasuk we just read as well in the end of Bahar, so the Rambam formulates the din. Rashi already a number of times in Chumash is mechalik between matzeva as opposed to a mizbeach. One is Eben Achas, one is Avonim Harbe. So the Rambam says here they're all gathering around the matzeva. And even if there's intention, lavadas asher, it's Hashem Shamayim, it's awesome. Shekein ha'yaderech oivdi kuchavim, shenemai, lo'isokim b'chol matzeva. B'chol ha'makim matzeva lo'ke, v'dad yichai malkus, yirovei alav, the Rambam says, and then he goes further, d'chein Eben Maskiz ha'amur b'torah. The Rambam then extends this to the din of Eben Maskiz, avu v'yishehu mishtacha ve'aleh l'shem, even though he's doing it l'shem Shamayim, lo'ke, he's going to also be subject to Malkus. He violates a law. Shenemar, v'yevim maskin, so sitna v'yatzachem, v'yishtachem osaleha. And then the Ram provides the rationale. Neshehoya derech obdei kachovim, laniach evim lefanea, v'yishtachem osaleha. That's exactly what they used to do. They had a derech. They actually would put a stone in front of them, and they would bow down. L'fikach ein eisim kein lashem. And therefore we, Shomri Torah mitzvahs, cannot in any way simulate that which is done by the non-Jewish world, that which is done by Goyim, that is considered to be, the Rambam calls it, Derech Oivdei Kachavim, a Derech of Oivdei Avodah Zarah. But he writes, in terms of getting Malkus, Eino Loke, Asher Yivshav Yodav V'Raglav Alo Eved. Only if a person is literally lying prone, prostrate, Pishri Danayim Raglayim, then he's going to be in violation of this halacha. V'nimtza Kulo mutal aleha, and then he's literally lying prone on this Eben. Shezu yishtachavoya ha'amura b'Torah. Last year, I was in Brooklyn, and so I went to a Svarim store, a well-known Svarim store called Eichler's. Eichlis is found, there are two Svarim Emporiums in Brooklyn. One is in Flatbush, one is in Borough Park, one's on 13th Avenue, one is in Coney Island Avenue. I'm passing the Chaim Berlin Yeshiva, and Eichlis is about a block or two away from the Chaim Berlin Yeshiva. I come near Eichlis, and before I knew it, three gentlemen, all of a sudden, they are lying prostrate on the ground. Pishut Yadayim Raglayim, right in front of me. I was taken aback, to say the least, and I realized that they were of a different faith community. And that's what they do. Pishut Yadayim Raglayim. So the Malkus that one would possibly get is only for Pishut Yadayim Raglayim. Then the Rambam adds another halacha, two more halachas, and we're going to have to discuss this. And yes, Hashem, probably I will do it next time. Right now, we're just introducing the topic. Bamed Varam Amur, and the Rambam now qualifies this din. And there are two nusachos in the Rambam. One nusach is Bishar HaRotzos. Others have the nusach of Bishar HaMekomos. When did I apply that which I just spoke about? Outside of the Mokom HaMikdash. That's when you have this Isur. That's when you'll get Malkus if you do it. B'pishu Yadayim Raglayim. Avo B'Mikdash. Mutu B'Ishtachavos Al HaAvonim. In the Beis HaMikdash itself, you're allowed to go and engage in Ishtachavos. Shenema B'Artzachem. And the Chazal derived B'Artzachem. Yatem Ishtachavim Al HaAvonim. Avatem Ishtachavim Al HaAvonim. HaMufutzolos B'Mikdash. B'Avonim HaMufutzolos. In the Beis HaMikdash. That you can do. And then the Rambam. Dafke Navilizara Perigvav. Ibn Ezeh. Nagu kol Yisrael, latzia machzalos, v'bati k'neisios ha'ritzufos ba'avonim. Often we have shuls, actually the old shuls here in Eretz Yisrael, you can still see, those shuls actually have stone floors from hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So the meaning is to place machzalos. You actually can see this in, not only in Tzfas, you also see it in northern parts of Eretz Yisrael where the old shuls are located, in the days of Avir Nosi and the like. So you see actually, and so we put on top of that, machzalos, different types of mats, or kash, v'teven, straw, as I mentioned earlier, the issue is the hesek between the ponim and the karka, as Mr. Brewer points out. Let's say you don't have something to interpose between your face and the eben, the issue is a hefsek between ponov and the avonim. That's the main issue. And just read one more halacha. Halacha ches. Kol ha-mishtachave al Hashem al ha-avonim ha-mevutzolos. So if you go ahead and engage in this kind of mishtachave, but you do it below pishu yadayim v'raglayim en oloke, because malchus is only for pishu yadayim v'raglayim, when you are prostrate, when you are prone, when you're lying full face and body on the floor. But then, if you do so with that pishu yadayim raglayim, in a makar aso makas mardus. Avol avedes kachobim, but when it comes to avedes zara, the Rambam says, echod ishtachavoye b'pishu yadayim raglayim, or below pishu yadayim raglayim, mishor sheich moshpana b'karka nisko. And this also is need of investigation. Why is there a distinction? Why is it when it comes to avedes zara, there it doesn't make a distinction whether you do it with pishu yadayim raglayim or without. The Rambam paskens, the moment the person is pevish panim b'karka, then a person will be liable for skila. Perhaps we'll just mention, by way of closing, the Rambam on page number 6, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, in the mitzvah, the Rambam in the Lavim Yud Beis. So he defines again what exactly the Isur is. We're enjoined from creating a stone, which is for the purpose of Ishtachavah. What all the Rishonim mentioned, even if it's Ishtachavah al-Shamayim. We don't want in any way to simulate, to essentially follow the practices of the non-Jewish world. There's a comment, Rabbi Achosid writes in Sefer Chassidim, he notes that V'es crystal tzach es yidol tzach. Generally, Jews often tend to emulate the mores, both cultural mores and other aspects of the non-Jewish world. And the Pasuk Chumri says, Le'isasim keim l'Hashem elokeichem. Of course, that's talking about the concept of To'eva. Kichol to'av as Hashem asher sonei, osu l'loheyem. And we're talking about different types of Avodah Zarah that they practice that we should clearly distance ourselves from. So the Rambam here tells us, as he writes in Moreh Nevuchim as well, that the marker for this is the fact that one should not be in any way Zayma l'Avodah Satsomim. Kichein oisin even mitzuyeres b'melocha mechukemet lefnei hatzelem. Rambam says what they do is they'll design a stone that's literally artistically embroidered, and it's done in a with artisanship by someone who's a craftsman before the tzelem, and they use it v'yishtachavu olei oisin tzelem, and that's going to be used for the purpose of their worship. The Amar Abiyevim Maskel Satsitnu Be'atzchem Mishtachem Be'Soleh Be'ayvi Alav Zeleike L'Shem Sifra Le'sitnu Be'atzchem Be'atzchem Iyatem. Next page on 7. Iyashtem Mishtachem Ima La'avonim Avalatem Mishtachem Ima La'avonim Shem B'Migdash Kvariz Boro Mishpnei Mitzvah Zu B'Gemar Megillah. And we'll just end with the Sefer Achinuch on page number 8 and 9. Also comments, I actually went looking for a English Sefer Achinuch, and Baruch Hashem was able to find one. So Mitzvah Seh Shin Mem Tes, here when he presents the issue, so he writes, Shalom Yishtachave Alev and Maskis, Afil Lashem Baruch Hu. The Chinuch, as you know, generally very much follows upon the heels of the Rambam. That the Rambam will cite the Din, and often the Chinuch will quote Kimat verbatim the language of the Rambam. So here he again utilizes the language of the Rambam, and he quotes the Evan Maskis of Sitta Ba'atzakam Nishtacha Ba'isoleho, the Evan Maskis Kikari Evan Mitsuyere, Chenabni Gozis, Migororod Bimigere, Bechlal Yisra Evan Maskis. Translated here as hewn stones that are smooth with a scraper, also included under the Yisra against a figured stone. And the Rambam goes on to describe what the basis for this Yisra is, the Chinuch rather. And the Chinuch indicates, this was a practice that was very much rife with Evdei Avodah Zarah. Yasimu Avonim Mitzioros B'Melacha Noel Vnei Hatzelem Vayim Mishtachav Vim Olel Lefonov V'Ef Shalom Agam Ken Shatam Neshenir Ken Mishtachav Olel Ben Atzmo Achash Shehechinua V'Tzirua V'Hino Yesh Mokom V'Chshan. By the way, the Ramban in Shoftim, which also is found in this handout, the Ramban in Shoftim, in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chav Beis, also presents a similar kind of rationale for this. If you take a look in pages 13 and 14, the Ramban there also indicates that Nire Ka'eve L'Shchiyo Sahem. So it looks like a person actually is bowing down to these figures and the like, and that's why the Poskim continue and point out what I mentioned earlier in the name of the Mishnah Berurah, that it would not apply to the Godim. Someone who bows down, Al Gabi Begodim Noyim, there's no Makom Penichshad. Because, firstly, a beggar is something which is transient, which is evanescent. A beggar is something which is going to dissipate, disintegrate over a period of time, and the person is not going to deify a garment. But an Eben is a Dabar Kayim, and therefore the Zakshad. And that's what the Torah wants us to distance ourselves from anything where this Shad, this suspicion, might come to the fore, or a person will be Nikshal. Okay, so we have essentially begun our investigation into the topic of Eben Maskis. And we really have not even scratched the surface of it. And the relevance, of course, is the din of Tachanun that we began with the Gemara and Megillah, the Mitzvah Hashem. In the next number of Shiurim, we will attempt to explore the parameters of this halacha a bit more carefully and also show relevance of this din in a very significant kind of way in the course of our Avodas Hashem B'meshach Hashem.